Hello, everybody, and welcome to our CMDS call for the month of September 2017. And many of you are brand new to the program, and I totally welcome you, and I'm really, really, really excited to have you here. And some of you are repeating it, and some of you are in NEPT, and you are entitled to everything that we do and every call we ever do, so you're taking advantage of that as well. But I was trying to say, you know, we're here. We're connected with a common bond, right? We all are dedicated to helping people and helping people to feel better. And some of the people that we're working with have been trying for a really long time, and some of them are fairly well educated, have some stones that have left unturned in their process. Some of them are like newly coming from Western medicine, and, you know, one of their friends said, hey, try my friend Deatra or Kathleen or Carol or Janet or whoever, Lynn, who does miracles with diet and nutrition, and maybe you can get some help. And some of them are just fed up with going to the doctor, having their 8 or 9 minute visit, and having the doctor just hand them another prescription because the one before didn't work. And they're just tired of feeling tired and sick, and they're not connecting it. A lot of them aren't even connecting that their digestion has anything to do with it. So even though this is a digestive mastery course, a lot of these people that are coming to you might be coming with totally different problems. Their skin's breaking out, their eczema, their cysts, their headaches, their ADD, depression, anxiety, fatigue, hair loss, you name it, right? Because we all see the gambit of all those people that are just unwell. And Jeffrey Bland, Dr. Jeffrey Bland, who was one of my very early interviews, like 25, 30 years ago, would always call them the walking wounded, because they're not the folks that are getting the triage care, right? They're not the bleeding ones, right? They don't have cancer. They haven't had a heart attack. Their blood pressure isn't up through the roof, maybe. And some of them we see they are, but they're the walking wounded, and they tend to get ignored, right? They tend to fall through the cracks in Western medicine, because Western medicine is brilliant at acute care. Western medicine is the best place to go if you have broken bone orifices, raging infections that need to get under control. But the walking wounded are those people with the chronic unwellness, you know, the ones we see all the time, and we can help so dramatically with the diet and lifestyle shifts. And so when these folks come to you, one of the things that's underlying all of this stuff is stress. And stress being, you know, mental, emotional stress, the stress of just being unwell for all these years and being frustrated and spending a lot of time and money at doctor's offices and not getting better, and spending a lot of money on supplements or medications and not getting better, but having raging infections that are left unfound because they're chronic subclinical, like gut infections or HPV or hepatitis, you know, that's been like ignored, like all these things that are ignored because they're not acute illness. They don't show up as raging up high, really, numbers on the CBC, but they're chronic little subtleties that we, as functional practitioners, as functional medicine, quote unquote, nutrition, healthcare practitioners, will look at and go, wow, why is this person unwell? Look what the doctor missed. They have a slightly high C-reactive protein. They have a little bit out of balance TSH. They've got these little bit out of balance neutrophils and lymphocytes and things that indicate infection, but nobody's catching it because it's not in the outrageous realm. And what this causes for these people is stress. But a lot of times these folks that we're seeing are what I like.
Okay, so I left her a note about none of us being able to hear her now. This is Lynn, by the way. And so she said she got bumped and she's going to be trying in again. Just so everybody knows, those of you who are coming in now, you haven't missed anything. We all had some issues trying to get on, including Dr. Rita Marie. So we are all here. And
I'm back.
Oops. And here she is.
So it looks like the universe is contriving to make my point, to give us clear examples in the moment about the kind of stuff that I'm talking about right now. I just got bumped for no apparent reason. So Lynn, just keep me posted. If you hear me, just drop out. It's somehow my internet. There must be some issue with the internet. It's beautiful, sunny. There's no hurricanes. There's snow, nothing that I can tell. But sometimes that happens. And what we need to do, we need to learn to do ourselves is, and teach our clients is how to bounce back and how to go, oops, I got bumped out. Okay, I'm going to get back in, right? And I get, my first feeling is, oh my God, I'm letting these people down, right? Oh my God, these people are going to think I'm going to flake, but I can't even keep myself on a call. And then I have to let go and say, you know what? I'm the very best. We are using this amazing technology that lets me talk to you from, you know, around the world, right, to all you people all over the country and around the world in real time using technology. And sometimes it goes kapooey and we have to go, oh, it went kapooey. Let's just rebound, right? Years ago, we couldn't do this at all. And now we can. So I'm thrilled. So I think that's a lot of why when we teach programs and why the people that take like our grand program, which is associated with CMDS, because it's our gut repair program for consumers, and what we do teach in our blood sugar program and our, of course, our adrenal program is transforming stress. It's like how to, in the moment, breathe, go to the beach or the mountains or the lake or the stream or wherever you find peace and tranquility, transport yourself there, allow your nervous system to shift from sympathetic dominant to parasympathetic dominant, and parasympathetic is where all healing happens. So a lot of us, and I know I was there, I was type 1 for so long, and my heart math techniques and meditation have really helped me to transform dramatically, very dramatically and constantly. But I think that this is a real big piece so that when we start to get, oh my God, what am I going to do for this person? Oh my God, how am I going to teach this person? Can I help this person? Or they're getting all freaked out, like, you know, my toenail stubbed and I thought I was going to exercise yesterday and I couldn't and I missed a day of exercise and oh my God, you know, those sorts of things that we can help shift them. So right now I want us all to just really practice that, because if you can teach this to your clients and maybe even start every session with your clients with this, is to just say, okay, let's just take a few breaths and set the intention for our time together. And I want to do that right now, because I want us all to take a few breaths and set the intention for our time together. Our time together is to grow. And so first of all, let's just take a few deep breaths, focus on your heart. When you breathe, feel your abdomen. Fill it all the way. Hold your breath. 2, 3, breathe out. Hold it on the out breath. 2, 3, if you want. And then breathe in again. And do one more of those. And then on your next in breath, what I want you to do is transport yourself in space and time to a location where you feel at your best, where you feel relaxed and tranquil, at peace, joyful, and where you can really activate a deep sense of appreciation for lots of things, right? For your experience, for the people in your life, for your brilliance that allows you to be able to help these people in need, for the training that you've had and will continue to have, and for just the peace and joy of knowing that you're making a difference in the world. Wherever you are in your training process, some of you have been in practice for 15 years, some of you a few years, and some of you are just starting out. But wherever that comes from, it's coming from this place of deep compassion and love and care. And just take a moment to access that. So if you can do this at the beginning of a conversation, whether it's online, whether it's on the phone, whether it's in person in your office, at their home, and just say, let's just start with a few breaths and let's just shift ourselves into healing mode. And you do a few breaths with them and you'll be able to watch them if you're on Skype or if you're in present with them. And if not, then just work with it. And then say, let's set the intention for our time together, that our time together is going to be filled with gratitude and exploration and curiosity for maybe what's not working so that we can help to try some things to help make things work better. And whatever that intention might be, I think that when you start your appointments with people with some gratitude, heart math, a meditation, if you have your own, you know, gist of it, maybe you do EFT tapping, whatever that might be, to start your appointment that way and feel into the person, right? Some people are like, oh, what is that tapping thing? But everybody's okay with breathing, right? Deep breaths and appreciation. That's kind of a universal thing, which is why I teach it. And then what's your intention? Let's set the intention. Ask them what their intention for the session is. And then you tell them what yours is. You might have an intention. And I would recommend that before you go into every session with somebody is that you set an intention. Right? Whether that intention be that today is when you want to help them to, you know, see their brilliance and have confidence enough to take some steps, or maybe you want them to finally commit to a particular action, or maybe it's a more, you know, etherical kind of a transformation that you want them for them. I'm back. Hello, I'm back. I got bumped out again. If this happens one more time, can you guys hear me now? Lynn, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yep.
Okay. So if this happens one more time, I'll try calling in, but I just want to, you know, it's usually better connection on the web versus my phone. So I just want to do that. And if it happens again, I'll go ahead and stop it. So I'm just going to plug in my phone for battery life right now, just in case I have to call in on the phone. All right. So anyway, any questions about that so far? Any comments about that so far? I don't want you to think I'm going all woo-woo on you, but I think that this is a really a super important piece. And the more years I've had in practice, had my own
you're going in and out again on me. You know, while she's probably calling in again. So the things that she's saying are really important. I hope that as you're listening to the things she's saying, you're pondering them for your own life and your own practice. It's what are we bringing to our practice? You know, what intention do you bring to your practice, whether the practice is for yourself and your family or you have clients? And it's really important that as we talk to people that we keep this in mind. And so whether it's on the chat or if you want to raise your hand to talk about your particular practice, that would be great. And so, let's see what do we have here. Do people hear me? Okay, so Valerie says, I really agree with teaching the client to shift and set intentions for the encounter. And this is really important because as we shift our own intention with what we want to bring to them, we're going to shift the intentions for our clients. And it becomes a real symbiotic relationship. And so what Dr. Rita Marie is teaching us here is truly going to change the direction and the people that you work with. You know, intention is so important. Having that connection with yourself and who you are and the person that and the people that you are going to connect with is huge. Yeah, Laura says this work is huge. And it does start with the basics. We sometimes get so far afield, and it's kind of fun to get out there and talk about all the different methylation pathways and so forth, but to talk to people on that most basic level of what is it that they want for themselves, how do they feel about themselves, what will this mean if my digestion is back in order and I have energy and I have clarity of thought and focus. Mm-hmm. And really feeling that, you know. So when you start working with somebody, and I can hear Dr. Rita Marie is back on. So when you start working with somebody, have an intention that in three sessions, they will have, you know, this kind of a feeling. They'll have more energy. They won't have that bloating. And anyway, so now that you're back on, I'll let you talk.
She just can take over wherever I leave off. She's just
no. Well, you weren't there, and so he's like, okay.
Flow with me. I love it. No, I love it, Jalynn. I'm so appreciative of you. And you know what's really I really love, and I know she's had this kind of this bent along the way, but what I've seen over the years, as she's worked and she's worked in our programs and she's assisted me on calls, is the level of confidence and competence has skyrocketed, and the ability to just flow in. Whereas you used to have this little bit of hesitation, right, on getting on call, I'm nervous. That's not there anymore. At least it doesn't show at all. And I just so applaud you for all the work you've done for yourself on this.
Well,
right?
Thank you. You know, you've implanted this passion for me. This passion in me that this is, you know, we talk about root cause, and sometimes this is the root cause.
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah,
you know,
more times than I used to believe.
Right.
More times than I used to believe. And so that's why we do take time and we do teach you and we give you guys access to the materials that we use, which you're welcome to, you know, use as is or shift and use however you want to use, okay, to make it your own process, but to help people get connected to what's most important. And like Lynn said, what is it that they're going to experience in their life when they don't feel bloated all the time and when they don't have this embarrassing skin rash? And what is it that this problem is keeping them from doing in their life? And when you can get them connected to that early on, you solve one of the biggest problems that I hear from all kinds of health practitioners, whether they're colleagues that I'm working with at, you know, functional medicine conferences or herbal conferences or whatever. The biggest issue I hear is how do you get your people to do those things, right? Because a lot of folks are still looking for, even in the functional medicine and herbal medicine realm, they're looking for that magical set of herbs that they can give people that are going to solve the problem, because the person isn't willing to give up sugar or get off gluten or, you know, slow down and eat without, you know, gulping it down because they're busy. And we don't really have those magic bullets. And I hear a lot of frustration amongst colleagues, and they'll say to me things like, how do you get them to stop eating sugar? So, you know, the more I started getting those questions over the years, I'm like, what do you mean, how do you get them to stop eating sugar? So I started really looking at how do I get them to stop eating sugar and how do I get them to actually do the things I teach them? And it's by helping them to see the value of it. Like, what does it mean, not so much in just the bloating? Because, you know, people say, oh, I can deal with bloating for the rest of my life. Big deal. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I'll just wear loose clothes and no big deal. But what it really means is, what is it keeping you from? Like, what kind of lovely things that you want to do in your life. And when we work on that, we call it the Inspired Health Vision System. You can call it whatever you want, but it's helping them to get connected to what they value most in life and what is this health challenge keeping them from. And when you can do that really early on, and I'd say right there in this very first conversation with them before they've even signed up to do a program with you, is that you get them connected to what they're missing out on because of this problem, and you get them so wanting to solve their problem, then you're much more likely to retain them as a client, a long-term client. And one of my early mentors in business and marketing taught me something that I'll never forget, and it really changed the way I approach people, is your job when you're talking to somebody for the first time, whether you're meeting them at a networking meeting or doing a presentation to them or on an enrollment conversation where you're talking to them, maybe a free consult or low-price consult that you give them, and then you are seeing if it's a good fit, is you don't want to convince them to work with you. If you have that in your mind, you're going to have a low rate of success in getting them to say yes. Your role, your job, your goal is to get them committed to getting this problem solved and making it a very high priority in their life. And if you get them to that point, there's a very high likelihood that they're going to hire you to be the one to help them. And even if they don't, like if I've had some of those enrollment conversations where I'm like, oh, well, they never worked with me. I wonder what. And gotten emails a year or two later that said, you changed my life in that one conversation. Because I give them two or three tips to start them off. I give them, you know, where I think some of the problems lie. And some of them, like I was way back when, 35 years ago, 33 years ago, were motivated to do it on their own. And they do. And a lot of those are the ones that come back and join us and become practitioners. And maybe some of you are like that, right? Somebody just said one or two things, or you read one or two books, or you went to a summit, or you did something that inspired you to look differently at your own health, or your mom's health, your dad's health, and things turned around. And you said, I'm getting into this as a profession. This is what I really want to be doing. And if that happens, holy cow, that's even better than if they hire you, in my opinion, because I've just, like, helped somebody make that transition into helping more people, and that's, you know, my biggest mission. But when you can help them to see why it's, like, vitally important that they solve this problem right away, then you either get them as a client, which a very high percentage of the time you will when you take that stance, or you are just, you're creating change in this person, and they're going to either find the right book or find a self-study program, which is great if you have your own self-study program, because if they can't pay, you know, $1,000 or $2,000, whatever, to work with you for 3 months, then you can offer them a $200 or $300 or even $100 program to do it on their own. So it's really nice to do that. We teach you how to do that towards the end of the program. So we'll make sure that, you know, that's clear. But I think if
there was one other thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
To go along with what you're saying. So our job is to lead them to that feeling, right? When we talk about connecting to how they want to feel, we're leading them there. It's not that we're saying, okay, when you leave here, you're going to not have bloating and you're going to feel great and have clarity of that. It's you ask those leading questions to bring them there, kind of like the breadcrumbs with Hansel and Gretel, so that they will get to that experience on their own. Because for some people, they've been living with this condition for so long, they just can't fathom what's on the other side. So it's those leading questions that are going to help with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you've done your job, if they walk away going, you know what, I realize is a high priority. And if they hire you, great. If they don't, great too, right? But if you spend the time trying to convince them why they should work with you, or being scared that they're going to say no, and you're like, oh, I'm trying to grow my practice, and, you know, somebody's going to say no, then that's not going to work, and the energy of the exchange is going to be very different, right? When you're coming from this place of giving, and you give them a few tips to get them started and get them really motivated. So that's why we spend a lot of time in this program and other programs really honing in on that being like the very, very important first step is to get people really committed. So I just wanted to start with that because the stress piece is huge, and we get it a lot with people who come to our programs and they and the site got slow, or I can't download my materials, and, you know, right, they get frustrated, and you can hear what is really the underlying, some of the underlying causes, the anger and resentment. We let somebody go out of the program just a little while ago because, I mean, I was like, don't try to convince her to stay, right? So she wanted a refund because this and that. She was just like downright, oh, you know, just it wasn't the kind of energy we want in our program, and I knew that she needed to solve that first. And she wasn't willing to go there. And when Lynn got on a call with a lot of love and compassion, which you know Lynn has, tons of love and compassion, and she just wanted to stay in her anger. And we know from Chinese medicine that anger is a liver thing, right? So there's a lot of liver toxicity, and so that is going to contribute to all the gut stuff and, you know, vision stuff and all kinds of stuff. So it's really helpful for you to really learn to just stop and listen, you know, listen to the tone in their voice when they're telling you about their problems, and really help them and meet them in a way that you can help to soothe, but not allow them to wallow in self-pity, that you help to elevate them. And those are the tricks. That's the art of healthcare. I teach you the science of healthcare, and that science is quite frankly the easier part to learn. The art, it just takes just a lot of practice, and so give yourself love and patience as you learn it. So that's all. You know, I know I went off and it took a long time because I had the silly internet dropped a few times, but I hope that that was helpful, and if anybody wants to comment, I'd love to hear your comments in the chat. So just to get to the logistics of this call, the way it works is we have a Q&A box, and we had it open for questions before the call. They don't see it that anybody actually put anything in there. It might have been because you guys didn't have the right link. But the chat has a whole bunch of stuff here. And Lindsay, I see, came on. Yes. Mary, there's no slides for this. This is a coaching and Q&A call. So this is all about, you know, me helping to support you to support your clients. And we may go off on discussions, but there's no slides for this. And Lindsay is on, so Lindsay, make sure you're on the phone, and we have your case, and we'll bring that up and see what you want, what you want help with this case. I'm looking to see, Lynn, are there any other questions in here? Let's see. Yeah, Valerie says, I really agree with teaching the client to shift and set intentions for the client. I really do. Yep, Laura says this is huge. You got to start with the basics. Yep, they can get overwhelmed so easily, so easily. Yeah, and you know what? Who is it says that, Valerie? In my experience, basics is refreshing for the client. It's amazing to see clients light up with a simple moment of connection and shifting. And yes, and when they connect, and then they have a success, a simple success, and then you celebrate that success with them. It's like one step, the stepping stone. I used to have a program where I called Stepping Stones to Health. It's just a little, you know, seven-part thing or whatever. We don't have Zoom. This is an instant teleseminar call. We might shift to Zoom if we want to show Lindsay's calls, in which case I will open up a Zoom and give you a link. But this is a, I don't know if it said it in the email. Did it say Zoom in the email, Lynn? I don't know. I told them to take that out a long time ago. Okay. So there's a Q&A.
Yeah, it did. It said if there's screen sharing. Yeah, it did. It was in there.
Was there a link for it?
Yeah.
Do you know which link? Can you put that in the chat for me? Put it in the chat for everybody. So if I use one, I want to make sure I use the right link, the right Zoom. Because if I use a different one, and I don't know, I thought that was taken out a long time ago. So, all right, just because we only can get up to 100 lines and we have more than 100 people in this program, so that's why we generally don't do it. So, Lindsay, if you're on, go ahead and raise your hand. I saw you there a little while ago, but I saw you disappear. So Lindsay put in a case, and so the way this works is there you can put in, raise your hand, *2. Star 2 on your telephone keypad, and Lynn can tell you how to do it if you're on the web call, because I don't remember what she said because it looks very different for me because I'm the host. So, Lynn, if you want to go ahead and tell people how to raise their hand if they're on the web call, and then you can also put it in, there's a Q&A and there's a chat right next to each other. So if you have a question specifically for me that you want me to address on the call, I'd go ahead and put it in the Q&A because the chat tends to get busy and there's a lot of conversation and it's hard for me to follow it because there's just a lot of back and forth. So if you put the questions in the Q&A and your comments in the chat, that would be helpful. And I see a hand up. I see Montreal, Jay Whiteman. Is that Lindsay or is that, let me see, whoops, Jay Whiteman, where did it go? All right, so hello, Montreal.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. It is Lindsay, yeah.
Oh, good. Hi. Great to have you on.
I was having a bit of confusion there, like just with the screen and stuff like that, but I'm glad I've got you now.
Yes, you do. And I have a whole bunch of files from you, and I have the entry for your person. So let me just open that up and see.
And
that's,
I know,
just the permission.
I'll just, and yes, it is with the permission. It's actually my dad.
Okay.
And it's a big, big, big file. So it was the first time that I ever, he was awesome. He was super organized, and he sent me all of his correspondence with, as you'll see, he saw tons of different doctors. And so it was an interesting perspective for me coming at this with very green eyes, I guess, if you will, or like, and I really had to approach it with a detective perspective. But, you know, so obviously I was in over my head a little bit, but the interesting thing was, is it really got me to really kind of sift through everything and a lot of stuff I didn't know. And, for example, he did that digestive assessment test, and he scored a 7 on that. So I was telling you on one of our last calls that he's, like, the healthiest sick person I know.
Yeah.
And it kind of just got me thinking that I don't think it's a systemic thing. I think it's a physical, neurological thing. And, of course, that's just, you know, that's just my opinion, and I'm not certain. But, anyways, I just thought I would preface it saying that.
Okay, great. And it sounds like he's a marathon runner. He has a foot drop. The foot drop started after a very long, like, 13-hour drive. And then it started getting worse. He'd notice occasionally he falls when he's running. Also, it might be something that's been building up a long time. I mean, the first thing I would be looking at would be what, you know, you're talking about doing an MRI of the low back and, you know, checking the pelvis and the nerve roots and that sort of stuff. And as a chiropractor, I would look at the differentiation between a local and a central problem. So it's a one-sided thing, right? On, you said his left side, left foot?
Yep.
Yeah, so his left foot. So I would be saying, okay, let's rule out, is it a problem with the nerve in the peripheral going into the leg itself, or is it a problem in the spinal column? You know, so chances are, since it's one-sided, it's something that the nerve root coming out of the spinal column and leading down to the foot, which is the L5. Dermatome. So we'd be looking there. They do an MRI and they found that there's plexitis, inflammation of the nerve plexus there. And orthopedics, he's hopeful that they were able. And when was this? How long ago was this?
So I'm going to say it started.
Oh, okay, 31st of January is when he was referred to a skeletal survey.
Yeah, like it's been going on for, I would say about a year now. I tried to draft up a timeline based on, when it started. But yeah, I would say he was running up until about 6 months ago, and that's when he had to stop.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it looks like he lost 10 pounds, but he thought that was because he cut wheat out of his diet and that was intentional. So they did a very, very thorough thing. Did they do blood work? We'll look to see what you got. But So a lot of times, like most of the time, people are not going to get folks coming in with a foot drop and, you know, try to associate it with digestion. But when you do look at anything that's, whether it's a peripheral problem or a central problem and there's inflammation involved, we always want to look at digestion. And that's a big piece that's overlooked. Is that going to be the whole problem? No, but it could be an aggravating factor in something that was a physical problem. You know, years of pounding as a marathon runner, very often we get protruded discs and we get degenerative disc disease. And he's 60, what did you say, 68? 69. 69, yeah. So it's great that he's so active, and it's great. It's terrible that he isn't able to do his running, because I know what it's like to not be able to do the thing you love to do. He had rotator cuff tears. He had a lot. Yeah. So a lot of his stuff is injuries from all the activities that he's done. But he did have Lyme disease in 2011.
He had it twice.
Which is doxycycline. So whenever we hear that, we want to look at what has he done to restore gut flora. So gut flora can be very, you know, intertwined with inflammation. Doesn't smoke or drink. He has the tick bites. He just had the doxycycline, so, you know, there could be other exposures. He had mold exposure, so he's had some stressors on his immune system. So he had the Lyme, he had the mold exposure, then he had the antibiotics from the Lyme, which would disrupt his gut flora. He had amalgams, but that was removed over 30 years ago, and he's a dentist. But he stopped doing amalgams in 1980, so he has an mercury exposure. So, but he still may have some of that in his bones, right? So, a bunch of stuff. I'm just looking really quickly through this because there's a lot of stuff.
I tried to be thorough.
He does have swelling and redness in the ankle. So there is some local. He tried physiotherapy and occupational, and I'm assuming there was no change with that.
Sorry, what was the question?
About the, he said, it sounds like he did some physical therapy on the left foot.
Yes, he did. He took a spill when he was training for the Boston Marathon. And then he got some physical therapy on his foot then. And he ran the marathon anyway, but because he did the first half really kind of slowly and gently, and the second half he was really having to compensate a little bit for his foot. He did finish it, but
okay. And then he had any chiropractic care, and in particular Cox flexion distraction technique to look at just expanding and making more space and taking up some of the. He's gotten some nerve root compression. And he's pretty clear from this.
Okay.
So that's
he has not seen a chiropractor, no.
Well, he has to see a chiropractor because this is, there's some physical stuff going on there. And it's not necessarily the kinds of stuff that it would show on an MRI because it's subtle. But there's pressure on that nerve root and you want to get it off. I'll just tell you a story. I mean, I had a guy come in to see me who had the foot drop.
Okay.
And what's the foot? And he'd gone for an MRI, and they actually found some disc protrusion. They said he was going to have surgery. He didn't want to have surgery. I looked at him. I said, you really have to have surgery. I'm not sure I can help you. But I did this Cox flexion distraction technique. I did some acupuncture. I adjusted his spine gently, you know, not like harsh manipulation. And I told him this could take a month, three times a week. That's the way that procedure goes. Within a week, and I'm doing the nerve root testing. I'm testing the various levels. Within a week, his foot drop had gone away. He was fine. Within a week. Now, I was completely shocked because I had no idea that it could change that quickly. So I would certainly leave nothing unturned and have him see a good chiropractor. I would say somebody who knows how to do Cox flexion distraction techniques. And there's a website that shows people who have taken the training and are certified. Or you look in the whatever the local, you know, directories are, ask around for somebody that does it. Where are you located? Where is he located?
He's in Nova Scotia. So he's
Nova Scotia.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Canada. So
I'll research
the name of it again is Cox Function.
COX.
Flexion. Okay.
Distraction technique.
Distraction technique.
Yep.
Okay.
And I can't
awesome.
Tell you the number of people who have really serious stuff that they were told they were going to need surgery, you know, the foot drop, the whole bit, that very quickly responded to it.
That's
and I combined it with acupuncture and nutrition and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it looks like it's really great that he tried a bunch of different nutritional things. So that's really good.
And he was already on that. He's seen, she's not a naturopath, but she is somebody for the Lymes that did like a cleanse and all of these different things. So he's on the right path there, but this is huge, actually, honestly, because he's been to hematologists numerous times. He's been for multiple MRIs. He's, you know, and he's just kind of singing the same song and dance over and over again. And I just feel for him because he's frustrated, you know, like he can't, he's immobile. I mean, he's not completely immobile, but, and it just doesn't make sense because nutritionally and his spirit and his mind and all those things are so intact, you know? So honestly, this is huge. This is just huge. I really can't thank you enough.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of the pieces that gets missed, right? So, you know, the nutrition is important, the neurology, they test all this, but so many people are missing the subtle chiropractic imbalances in the spine and the slight pressure on that. So if they're saying plexitis, I mean, it basically means that there's been inflammation in the nerve root. Why? And they're not saying anything about protruded disc or spinal fusion, stenosis, or any of the things that we might typically see with that stenosis, though we probably see bilateral. There's clearly something happening on that left side coming off of the spine, and I think that that's something that needs to be addressed. When I was treating something like that, now I would do an examination, of course, I don't want to just like blindly diagnose somebody without seeing them, but I would be doing something to reduce the inflammation. So I'd always do like ultrasound and muscle stim in that area. And I would do acupuncture and acupressure points along the way. So people who don't do acupuncture can do acupressure. And some people are scared of needles, so they don't want that. But it doesn't sound like he would because he's getting B12 injections. But then I would also do this flexion distraction and then, you know, hot, cold. And there's a whole process that they teach in the Cox method. Great book. If anybody wants to get it, it's just a Cox Flexion Distraction book. If you want to really get into that, it's just an amazing book. And I just follow that stuff. And they say treat the person 2 or 3 times a day for a week. My experience has been that people can't do that. And I've usually treated them 2 or 3 times the first week and then 2 or 3 times the second week and explained to them that probably need a month to really make some progress. And most people are like 90% better by the end of the first week. And this has been my experience. I haven't had hundreds and thousands of people, but I've had, you know, at least 10 people that have had that kind of experience with it. So
wow.
I would definitely recommend looking into it.
I will.
And then looking at the gut, you know, because this is, you know, they're giving him probiotics. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff. So is this what he did when he took his antibiotics with the doctor? It sounds like they had him do
so the person that he
get rid of the yeast, so nice statin,
yeah,
probiotics. Sounds like they had a really good protocol for him for this.
Yeah, yeah, they did. It was very thorough. They did do. They did find a lot of lead in his. I think she submitted it to doctor's data actually, and they did find a lot of lead, not a lot of mercury. But the neurologist is going to send him for heavy metal testing in the blood, because I don't know, the first test may have just been urine, and so the thought process was that maybe sometimes you can dump a lot of something in one test. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but the
take a substance. Yeah, they take a challenge substance which causes it to be mobilized. You will warn him that if he does that, here's something to look for. If he takes that challenge and he takes that challenge substance and his foot drop gets worse for his neurologist to really pay attention. Because if it gets worse, that's actually a good sign.
Okay,
because what that means is he's mobilizing from storage a high amount of those heavy metals into his bloodstream, and if they're aggravating the nerve and making it worse, that could be what's going on, and that, you know, going on a heavy metal removal process slowly, of course, is going to help. But that's it's a huge dose of this challenge substance that actually removes it from the storage. So I always tell people if they have neurologic symptoms, especially, and they get worse, that that's actually a good sign. It's actually a good sign that this thing is actually involved. If it doesn't, then it doesn't mean it's a bad sign. You just have to look at what shows up.
Okay.
But it sounds like he's done an elimination. It sounds like, you know, he's done a lot of the stuff we teach, right? He's gotten off of gluten. He's gotten off of dairy. He's on no alcohol. He's limiting fruits, low glycemic type stuff. So he's addressing gut dysbiosis. He hasn't had a stool test. I would have a stool test, though.
Okay.
So just to see if there's anything still there, right? He did go on a good protocol. They put him on a good protocol. So just for everybody's knowledge, they put him on a protocol where he did some antifungal, a prescription antifungal, nice statin, but also did a lot of the things that we might do. Did some biofilm disruption things. So that's good. And this is very amazingly sophisticated for an MD, right? And this is so warming to my heart that there are doctors out there that are knowledgeable enough to do a lot of this stuff. So I would say have him continue to do that. Like, don't give up on the dietary protocol because he hasn't seen, like, the problem go away, because he has to keep that going for a long time, you know, and just make sure that he continues to keep those things away. So he never consumes sugar. He doesn't consume soft drinks. He drinks tap water 5 or more times a week, so I would get him to do filtered water.
Yeah.
I would make sure that he's drinking enough, because a lot of heavy-duty athletes don't, because they're working out a lot and they're sweating, although right now he's not. But, you know, a low level of dehydration is going to concentrate any toxins in his body. From my perspective, this is a trauma-type problem, the micro-trauma, right? This is a structural-type problem that may be aggravated by some of these other things. So all the stuff you're doing from a nutritional perspective is going to support the healing of this problem. But I don't think that the root cause is his gut or heavy metal.
Okay.
Right? It may be that these micro-traumas were aggravating, were more pronounced symptoms as a result of the Lyme and the disruption in the gut from antibiotics, the heavy metals, whatever else. That's totally possible. But here we have to always differentiate between someone who has what there's clearly been years and years of micro-trauma as a marathon runner and have taken falls, right? So there's that problem there. And I would get him in to get structural care right away.
Okay.
I'm looking at some of his labs and just to see if there's anything obvious that stands out. Low white blood cells. It says to me that there's a chronic infection somewhere, and that could be a gut infection. Red blood cells are low-ish. It's not terribly low. Hemoglobin is on the low side, hematocrit. So there's MCD is on the high side, which is whatever he's doing with those B12 shots. Was this taken before or after he started the B12 shots, the blood work?
I'm not 100% sure. I can find out, though.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to go back to, because you said something very brilliant earlier on, and this is something we all should be looking at doing, is to create a timeline with people, right? Is like when, even just getting like some big graph paper or a flip chart, or having yourself a whiteboard where you can lay it out and take a picture of it and put it in their file. But really mapping out the timeline, because sometimes, like we say, okay, you did this and you did this and this is when the symptoms started. Okay, before that, he visited Mexico, his house flooded and he had mold. Like having that laid out, because when you're trying to go back through it sequentially in papers, you can't keep track of it. None of our minds are like that. When you can graphically lay it out, you can start to see connections. So clear things are when there's some indications of imbalances in blood, you want to know is that before or after they started either a supplement program or antibiotics or whatever. So in this case, it was May of 2017. He had this blood test done, and then we go back. And I hope you guys don't mind me. I know this is not a really a digestive case per se, but this is teaching you a case analysis process that's super important. But I'm going back to when you said, I don't know if you had a date on it or what, but you said that he took cyanocobalamin shots, not cyanomethyl, cobalamin, 25 milligrams per cc, 25 milligram injection into buttocks, 0.25. So he's not taking all that much. He's taking 25 point. He's taking about 8 milligrams. 25 milligrams per cc, and he's only taking a quarter cc. So it's not a large amount. He might, you know. Oh wait, I'm thinking vitamin C, right? So 8 milligrams. Yeah, so that's a good amount. 3 times a week for 6 to 12 months, but we don't have a date. So yeah, finding out when he took that. Because there's some indication on his blood work. He has MCV that's a little on the high side. And MCV is mean corpuscular volume. And that's the size of the red blood cells. And when vitamin B12 or folate are low, then we're going to see that number be high. And his is 103. The medical lab range is 80 to 97 on this lab. Our optimal range is like 80 to 90. So he's definitely high. I mean, it flags it as high, which would suggest the need for the B12. So he should be continuing that and then doing another test after he's been on those shots for at least 3 months.
Okay.
Okay. And so monocytes are high. Monocytes are elevated either when there's a recent recovery from an infection or when it's a chronic. So that combined with the low white blood cell count says to me that there's some sort of infection going on. Not
right.
Clear what it is because the neutrophils and the lymphocytes are kind of within normal range. My guess is that it's more viral though because the neutrophils are lower. Just a guess, right? I can't really say. I'm looking to see if there's anything else on your test that you gave me. Hard to tell because this is all in Canada E. So I think some of the ranges are not the ones that.
Yeah, no. I appreciate this so much, but I think the biggest part of this puzzle, which you honed in on right away, was the structural care and mm-hmm. the specifics around. The Cox flexion distraction technique. So that's you know, that's really, really exciting.
Fantastic.
And of course the stool test and to keep up with, I mean, they've really adopted the way they eat. I mean, you know, they dehydrate their own sea salt from the ocean, you know, like they're pretty healthy in that regard. So it's part of their lifestyle. Like they grow all their own stuff and so I'm not worried about the nutritional aspect,
but keep them on the anti-inflammatory foods, right? So make sure that they're really clear. You know, add some ginger and turmeric to their food. Stay away from the gluten and any allergen foods, all that kind of stuff. So just make sure that that's really clear. You can up the level of ginger, quercetin, things like that. Vitamin C is important for healing. IV vitamin C might be something that could really help improve the healing there, but definitely get to a good chiropractor that can do the complexion.
I'm going to research that for him and find that out. Yeah, okay. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Thanks for the case. Okay. So just as a summary, I just want to say, you know, in looking at the people that come to see us, we want to go, okay, my tool is digestive system stuff. And so I'm just going to look at, you know, oh, we're going to fix this with digestion. And we have to look at people who are coming in with functional structural type things where there's like this person's foot drop or, a chronic knee pain or other things, and they definitely are going to be impacted by nutrition. So he had a very good doctor that honed in on B12, super important for neurological pain. But there's clearly something that has to be addressed in this person structurally, right? And but what do we do supportively nutritionally, right? So the anti-inflammatories, all the elimination diet stuff that you've been learning about, all the basics of good digestion, which it sounds like he's doing. He has a list of foods to avoid, very similar to what we're teaching. His doctor went through that, so he's really in good hands, which, I mean, is so refreshing to me, let me tell you, because I just cringe at some of the cases we get and how they're just missing the obvious. So just when you're doing it, I love what Lindsay brought up, is she wanted to write a timeline. Figure that out. I think that's something I want to work on as far as a kind of a template that you could do, but really it's not like an 8.5 by 11 type of thing. Maybe we can do an 8 by 17 or something. But I think that really mapping that out for yourself, whether you have a flip chart in your office, cheap to get a flip chart, or whether you get a roll of paper. I used to use this with my kids. We'd get this roll of brown kind of paper that we'd roll out and they'd do their art projects on it. They're white or brown. And to just be able to do that and put that up on your wall, and then just kind of map it out. And it's just so helpful, especially at the beginning, but any time. I think it's a really good process that's going to add to my history taking module in ECT. So are there any questions or comments about that or in general about your own cases, your own self, your own mom or dad? Because those are valid patients. There are a lot of programs out there for practitioners who say, no, you can't pick your own case. We're not going to help you with yours. If you want that, you have to go to our program. And I don't believe in that. I really don't. Because I think that we're going to learn best. Our first cases are going to be our own family, friends, and ourselves. Right? And that's how you're going to learn. So I first learned was on myself. So I love that you bring that. And especially if it's somebody close to you or if it is yourself, I can ask you the questions. I can model that question and answer process, and then you can go from there. I do want you to just reinforce that seriously, 80 to 95%, somewhere in that range of what you're going to discover about the person and help be able to hone in on how to help them is going to be in a good history. And so we've given you a lot of assessment tools, so pencil to paper type tools that you can give your clients and get that information as opposed to sitting with them for 2 hours and getting that information. But some of it is going to be like you're looking and you're going to ask deeper questions, right? So I had some questions for Lindsay about what I'm reading, but even just reading the thoroughness of what she wrote, it's like I could see the patterns. And the more you do this, the more you're going to see the patterns. So I would say if you don't have a practice of your own right now, just start offering to help your friends and family members. Give them all the assessments. Get them to do it. Just sit with them. Teach them. Learn that way, because the more you do it, the more you're going to learn. And the more confidence you're going to build in your own ability to do it. So, Lynn, do you have anything to add there?
I completely agree. It's when you're working with people, it's especially when you have events that have occurred, have they had travel, did they have vaccines, what was their mother's pregnancy like, what was, when they start giving you I've had this bloating since for 20 years, okay, what happened 20 years ago? Having that timeline is going to be so helpful. To find out where did this all begin in the first place. And so as you work on those pieces there, it helps to help that those more acute feelings of the bloating and the gas or what other pain is happening. If their skin rashes, if their hair is falling out, if they're fatigued, timeline is going to, be a real great touchstone of where did this all start in the first place. And
absolutely.
And we've given you finding out if their mother's pregnancy is really it it can be so, so helpful. Because things happen. We now know more than when our mothers had us about the importance of that pregnancy, of that delivery, of those first moments afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, we both, my mother did breastfeed me at the time. It was revolutionary. I mean, she breastfed me for 3 months. That was not heard of. And so we come from a time where mothers did not, it was not, looked kindly on to breastfeed. So all those little pieces are the stepping stones, as you were saying earlier, to what may be happening.
Right.
So, yeah, that's
and
my long-winded
things,
way of saying,
absolutely. I appreciate you adding that, because the thing about antibiotics is my biggest question I ask in history is, you know, when was the last time you took antibiotics? How often have you taken antibiotics as adults? How often did you take them as a child, and when did you first start taking antibiotics? And there's been lots of studies that support that when someone is given antibiotics in that first 3 years of life, they are way more likely to have issues with gut flora and with, you know, overgrowth of candida and other gut bugs and dysbiosis later in life, and also to have more allergies, food allergies, atopic diseases, eczema, dermatitis, all that kind of stuff, when they've been given antibiotics in those first 3 years of life. And if it's the first 6 months of life, it's even a higher risk. And I forget whose study it was. It was a really, you know, well-researched study. They talk about it, I can't remember where, but I'm not a Jeffrey Bland when it comes to studies. He remembers all the studies and when they were done, and I just remember the gist of them, and I just take the information going forward, and I don't remember who the heck the guy's name was that did it. But the other thing I wanted to say was,
you were talking chiropractic. You know, all my children, within a week of their being born, had some type of chiropractic treatment. So, you know, that goes along with it. Because you were just talking to Lindsay about the chiropractic care with her dad. And, you know, if you've got that, all the nerves and everything that run through your spine that connect to your organs, if those are all running well, it all works together.
And here's the thing, that you can have these things. You may have had this called a subluxation in chiropractic ease, is that you may have had that from the time of birth. But it doesn't really affect, maybe, until there's a bunch of other stressors on the system. And it doesn't affect it overtly, but then suddenly it affects. So he may have had some structural stuff. He may have had some subluxated discs in his or vertebrae in his back from the time he was little, but he didn't really address it. So I think it's really important for us to look at, especially when it's an overt structural kind of case. So, and I'm not a big fan of the chiropractic 3 times a week for the rest of your life. So if you're going in and getting somebody to sign you up for the, you know, the $10,000 chiropractic program where you've seen, you know, 3 times a week for the next 3 years, I would kind of run away from that. I think I just don't think that that's based
I'm
on
so
reality.
With you on that one.
I'd go to, you know, continuing ed classes, and they'd be talking about, well, what's your average number of visits for that a person comes to see you? And I'd go, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5. And they'd just look at me. Oh, you mean in the first week? I'm like, no, I mean overall. And they'd like, what? What do you mean? you know, I work on their nutrition. I work on their muscles. I work on their posture. I give them exercises. I adjust them. I do massage. I do I do all the stuff to get them and teach them and empower them to take care of their body. And then, you know, maybe I have them come back once every couple of months for a tune-up just to make sure they don't get too far out again. And that's what my practice was. And they'd be talking about, like, you know, 3 times or 5 times a week the first week. And some chiropractors mean well with that, and they do well with that. I mean, some people might need that. But I think that that's, I think that it gives us a bad reputation. And I would be looking for somebody who's really going to get to root cause. And those who do, like, a cost-busting distraction technique, or who do, like,
travail myofascial release work in addition to the adjustments, or do any sorts of other things in addition to just adjusting, teaching therapeutic exercises, all that, that's what's going to help you, empower you to get better, and that's going to help your patient to put it all together. And so that's why I think I got such good results with people, is because I combined all that stuff and worked with the mindset as well. So it all comes back to a lot of that other stuff. But I think that it's a super important thing to go over this. So that's the first thing that I would say. You see foot drops. I mean, I've worked with so many foot drops that have gotten better. Like, you know, they should have not gotten better according to medicine, and this person had to have surgery. So, you know, it's just amazing. Let me put a link into that. So just something to keep in mind, especially with digestive issues, that they seem to be doing all the right things, but they're not. If it's interference with the nerve supply, the nerves control everything, right? And if that spine is just slightly out of alignment, or there's some compression between two vertebrae.
Oh, I'm sorry. My voice is getting buzzy. I'm going to try working right into that microphone.
I wasn't sure if it was my reception until.
No.
Yeah.
It looked like is that better? They're doing all the right things, but they don't seem to be getting as much improvement as you think. You've got to think about those structural pieces, the energetic pieces, there's a technique that, this comes from Upledger. Upledger is craniosacral therapy, but there's a sister, you know, cousin, whatever, therapy with that, which is visceral manipulation. And sometimes there's an issue where there's some tightness in one of the ligaments, like say in the uterosacral ligament. There's a ligament that runs between the uterus and the sacrum to hold all that stuff where it should be, right? And if there's some misalignment in the sacrum and it's tightening up that ligament leading to the uterus can be tilted. It can be leading to dysmenorrhea, right? It can be leading to menstrual pain that people are just associating with a deficiency of Midol or whatever those medications are. And in reality, it's a gut, it's a sacrum thing. And sometimes it can be fixed with the sacrum. And sometimes, you know, there's people who can go in there and know, have been trained. I only took one level of that course. I never got back to take the rest of them, but where you can actually learn to adjust the viscera, the organs, and help those little ligamentous attachments there. And it's phenomenal work. I mean, I've just seen phenomenal changes with people. So keep all that, always keep that stuff in mind when we're working with digestion or anything else that you're working with people. Let me see if there's any questions typed in. Okay, we have some. We have Cecilatina. Hi, Cecilatina in Ontario. A friend has lupus. And takes aspirin daily to avoid blood cuts, but she'd like another option for the daily aspirin, as she's heard of the negative effects of, is vitamin E a suggestion? Yeah, vitamin E and omega-3s are good suggestions, making sure that you don't go too much, because you can bleed out, but I mean, I'd say omega-3s, especially, so vitamin E and omega-3s. You can do what's called a blood spot fatty acid test for like $120. You can go to directlabs.com and find it there, and that will help to see what the balance between omega-6 and 3s are. We have a chart that shows like how to balance omega-6 and 3s, and that's super important for any kind of inflammation. But those are good anticoagulants, natural anticoagulants. And I would say that any herbs that have a contraindication of if the person is on heparin or why am I drawing a blank? The big anticoagulant supplement. Then those are things that also would be good. But I would say mainly vitamin E and omega-3s. Let's see, Mary. Is there a former example of an intake questionnaire for us to use with our new clients? I have that in NEPT. That's the one I use. You can probably, if you go to nutritionalendocrinology.com, I have what I call the success kit. And if you download that success kit, there's a sample of the questions. It's not the actual form, but it has all the different things that you may want to be asking for that. Let's see. Janine, I had my EGD done and showed mild gastritis. I don't have heartburn. My stools are gone from constipation to watery back to constipation. I've started digestive enzymes, mineral support, restore, leaky gut repair, liver support, berberine, herb teas. So I would say if you showed mild gastritis, even though you don't have pain, you want to be looking at all the demulcents. So go to the section on upper GI and look at the demulcents, slippery elm, DGL, marshmallow, and there's a bunch of others in there. And really get in the habit of doing those on a daily basis, and you should be able to heal it in 6 weeks as long as you don't keep doing the things that are causing it. But you also have to look at, making sure that you have the right amount of stomach acid. Sharon, do you think there's some time limit for treatment of the foot drop? I have a friend who has this, but it's been several years. You know, it's certainly possible, and nerves do take longer than stomach lining and gut lining to repair. So there might be some point where there's complete damage that to the nerve, but the only way you know is to tell is to do it. The other thing is there are local regenerative things that can be done. St. John's wort is an excellent nerve regenerative, and you can take it internally, but also rub St. John's wort oil over the nerve root area and even just following down the leg and into the foot. But yeah, there might be a time problem. So Dawn, I've been dealing with mold exposure. Oh, my God, poor thing. I've been taking chlorella and quercetin. However, it's causing fatigue and sinus issues. So is the chlorella and quercetin causing fatigue and sinus issues, or is the mold causing it? The lymph system is very stagnant in my sinuses and gut. I'm having at a friend's house. I'm leaving in the near future. Is not an option. I'm living in my also surrounded by cornfields. Okay, so, you know, our first step in detoxifying anything is to reduce the load, right? So the only way that you can really heal from mold exposure is to get out of the mold exposure. You can strengthen your system. You can do as much as you can. I would say do meticulous 100%, you know, OCD about cleaning up, doing everything good for yourself, off every single allergen, eat slowly, all the good stuff we teach you about digestion. Support your liver in getting rid of that stuff, so methylation support and just liver support in general. As far as lymph, you can use things like, I'm drawing a blank on my herbs tonight. Isn't that sad? Oh, let's see. Cleavers is a really good lymph mover. And it's really powerful, and you only take a little bit in. I love to use it, and I use it as an oil. And it's a stinging kind of plant. And, okay, I'll think about it. But you can actually get them as oils. Cleavers you can take internally, but this other one you can get and just, like, rub it on the lymph that drains the sinuses, which would be off to the sides of the ears and into the neck and into the mandibular under the chin. And so that would help, you know, cleaning up your gut as best you can. But here's the thing, right? If you have a headache because you hit your head over the head with a hammer every night, I can give you something to help with the headache. But if you keep hitting yourself over the head with the hammer, after a while, nothing I give you is going to help with the headache because there's damage being done by the hammer. So I know you're saying there's no option, so I would say the best air filters you can get, wearing masks when you're in the house, so go to Home Depot or something like that, get one of those big, like they look like Martian-looking masks, and get the little filter things that you put in there that are related to mold. You've got to shore up your system with dealing with mold. I would be taking antifungals and antimicrobials to help with all that. You've got to find a place in the house that's going to be the cleanest it possibly can be. So other than, you know, those are the things I would do. Support your immune system. Tons and tons and tons of vitamin C. Vitamin C to bowel tolerance. Quercetin, I don't know if quercetin's given you
fatigue, or I've never heard of quercetin giving somebody fatigue. Chlorella could, because it's drawing some of that stuff out, so you can get rid of that. I would be doing stuff to be pulling things out of your gut. So maybe charcoal and the clay, you know, bentonite clay, or the any of the, like, Pelforce Nutritionals has a drawing, intestinal drawing formula to help pull some of that stuff out. So liver support, gut support, lymph support, and a mask to breathe in. That's the best I can offer, you know, and I feel bad for you that you can't get out of that. Lynn?
This is Lynn. I would also consider the supporting the adrenal glands. Because there's going to be a lot of stress, and she's already under stress because she's in the situation not of her choosing. So, you know, finding what her adrenal, her cortisol and DHEA and all of that would be helpful. But using licorice if her blood pressure allows it. And then if she finds out her levels, doing the DHE and pregnenolone. But
Or I would say some things that more are more adaptogenic, because I'd be careful about licorice just in case she's got high levels, because of her cortisol, we don't know what her reserves are and how much she's producing. So licorice, I generally don't recommend licorice or DHEA pregnenolone unless I've seen the test. Unless it's real obvious, like, I don't know this person, I don't know what her levels of fatigue are and where they are, but I would say some of the more adaptogenic stuff, so ashwagandha, holy basil, possibly rhodiola, just being careful about the timing of the rhodiola, even ginseng could help to just really support the system without it going too far. Cleavers, yeah, so cleavers is a really good lymph mover, and I'm looking for my other favorite, and it's like, okay, why am I not lymph?
Janine talked about something called Tudka. It's taurus, let's see if I can say this, taurosodeoxycholic acid. It's an
that's a bio mover. That sounds like
ambiphilic bile acid, right? It's a taurine conjugate form of ursodeoxycholic acid. It's something that Dr. Jay Davidson recommended in terms of Lyme disease.
Okay. Well, she doesn't have Lyme, but that would be good for that other, the other guy, right? So there's
the
lymph. Removing lymph. Okay. There are a number of lymph movers that you can look at with Gaia, or there's a really good one from Herbalist and Alchemist. And he seems to be the only place we can get the oil that I'm trying to do. It's this beautiful colored oil. Let me look it up. B-A-L-I-S-T and Alchemist. Okay, let's see what he has. Hypericum is what you'd want for, I'd get some hypericum oil for Lindsay's dad and have him be rubbing that into his spine and also the peripheral areas in the foot. Let's see. It's a hard one to get except through them, because it's one of those herbs that you wouldn't take internally unless you're really under the care of an herbalist who knows, unless you're just taking like one drop. Let me see here, herbal oils and ointments. Let's see if it's listed here. I don't understand why I'm drawing a blank on it. It's one that I use all the time. I keep it in my office. I've used it for people when they have swollen glands. I rub it on their lymph. I've used it with people who have lymphedema, like say after they've had like surgery for cancer, a lot of them get really bad lymphedema. I use it and I rub it on.
Clover?
Poke, thank you, dear. Poke, P-O-K-E. Okay. Herbalist and Alchemist is the only one that I know. I think they used to have it at Wise Women Herbals as well. So poke oil.
They do,
and you do it topically. You can put a couple of drops of that with a little bit of coconut oil and just rub all the areas that drain those sinuses. So, you know, you're looking at by the ears, at the back of the skull, underneath the mandible, along the chin, right, and then into the neck. And those will help and drain it down towards the lymphatic ducts, which are by the clavicles. So that's the kind of thing that I would do to help with that lymph stagnation. I would also be getting, I would do neti pot. I would do neti pot 3 times a day if I were you, dear, because that's going to just keep everything out. So you want the mold. You don't want the mold to be getting in. So you want to be constantly pulling it out. And then, of course, those masks. And I used to have one when I was in school and we were doing cadaver studies, and I wasn't going to want to breathe in the formaldehyde. So I got the special little filters that were for formaldehyde, but they had so many others. And you can definitely get a mold one. And I would do that. And as silly as you might look, anytime you're in that house, you better be wearing it.
That's you my, know that X-Clear that you use would be good with that.
That X-Clear could be good to help keep the sinuses moving. Yeah, absolutely.
There's another one called Argentine 23. It's kind of a silver hydrosol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Anything that's good for the kind of kill off the mold stuff. Right. And that's the best you can do is, like, you got to avoid it. So the best you can, don't be in the house as much as you can. Keep the windows open, so keep filtration. Keep fans going to keep it circulating.
Yeah.
Right?
Creative did you mention zeolite?
Who? Zeolite. That's the one I was thinking of. I said the clay. So zeolite clay is great.
Yeah.
And you take that internally and help to draw some of that stuff out. Just go slowly with any of that stuff because they can constipate, but they can also draw stuff out quickly and make you feel kind of fatigued or worse. So you just go small amounts of anything you do and then build up.
What about modified citrus pectin? Because I know you've mentioned that before.
I haven't seen it written up much with mold. I know it works really well for the heavy metals, so it could be something for Lindsay's dad to look at, modified citrus pectin for heavy metal detox. Let me see. I'm looking up to see if I see anything related to it for mold.
I was actually just looking through the Surviving Mold site, and they do have it on there.
Yeah, I'm looking that up.
I know you've mentioned it.
Instead of charcoal.
Yeah, supports cellular health, supports healthy immune response, supports healthy detoxification of molds and metals.
I mean, this is talking about chronic overlooked conditions in Lyme disease, but this is an article from the Townsend Letter. It's older, it's like 2014, but it just looks like it might be worthwhile to look at. Let's see. And it talks about modified
citrus.
Yeah, anything that's going to pull things out.
Oops. Enemas.
Jump in there. Right. All the cleansing kind of reactions, you just have to go low and slow with them, because if you go too much, you're going to overtax your detox pathways, and then liver support to move things through. Okay, let's see. I think that was it. I'm going to refresh. Hope that was helpful.
She does have a HEPA filter in. So I think we all poked ourselves at the same time.
Lynn Rose reinforces that she said poke. She knew what I was thinking about. Has to be drop dosed. Absolutely. I wouldn't take it internally unless you're working with somebody, and if you are, no more than a drop, because it can definitely be problematic. Castor oil, sure. Castor oil pack could be helpful, and castor oil over your sinuses to help them move and to help get the lower dose on the lower inflammation in there, right? And just do a search on mold, and so some modified citrus pectin might be something to look at, you know, things to just draw things out through your gut. And thank you, Lynn, for Lynn and Lynn Rose, both full of stuff. And Lynn Rose said Star West Botanicals. Lynn Rose is a homeopath, so she's really, and she does herbal stuff too, so. Idolaka, yes, poke, thank you. And Rose says sticky weed. I don't know sticky weed. Is that a good lymph mover?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Woohoo. Lynn, you're just full of great stuff. We're going to have to get you to do us a little bonus call on herbs support herbs and homeopathic. Tutka, I don't know Tutka, so that's a good one. You guys
that
are great.
That was what
I
was
I
just telling you about.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's got the glyphosate in the cornfield. So there's a lot of stress on her system. So, you know, liver support, gut support, lymph support are going to be huge. And then as much as you can with your exposure, essential oil diffuser to, you know, keep the air fresh, open up the windows, and definitely look at those. That I know Home Depot used to have them. That's where I got them. So mold masks. But it's just really hard when you can't get out of it. Yeah, so there's all kinds of them. Just look up mold masks, and you're going to find some. I wouldn't just get those little paper things. Those are just for dust, really, right? So look some of that stuff up and make sure that you're really careful and stay out of the house as much as possible. Okay, I hope you don't work at home. If you do, you want to get out.
So Lindsay was wondering, would the Hypericum work with her dad's spine and foot as well?
With her dad's, yeah, that's what I said, for Lindsay's dad, for sure. I would say, I would put it on the foot itself, but I would also put it up at the nerve root. And if there's, because he has, it sounded like from the description that he also has some quad atrophy. So I would just rub it throughout, you know. I would concentrate it at the nerve root. But I would also maybe mix it with a little coconut oil and just do some massage all the way down and follow the nerve root pathway. If you look up the L5 nerve root, L5S1 nerve root, because that's what's going to contribute to foot drop and quad atrophy, then I would go and just follow that nerve root. So Janine said I bought a mask from Home Depot when I was moving out of my house. It worked great. Now, what do you mean N95, Lynn Rose? Yes, Hypericum oil for your dad's foot, for sure. And even taking a little Hypericum internally, because it's just a nerve restorative. I mean, even in cases where somebody's exposed to, like, a tetanus thing, we actually use the tincture thing and put it into their little opening, their whole. We use it when dealing with flu or TB. N95
is a particulate. It's a particulate respirator mask.
Oh, okay, great, fantastic. Okay, great. Thank you, Lynn. And Lynn likes. What's your favorite? She wrote down what her favorite oil. I like Gaia, and I like Herbalistin Alchemist. I like Mountain Rose. But Lynn says Elk Mountain. I haven't heard it. I haven't used that.
I've been using Elk Mountain lately.
I haven't heard of them. Star West Botanicals I've heard of. And Lynn Rose said that's her favorite place. So you just want quality herbs that you can trust that what you get is actually what you get. And it's not adulterated and it's not some kind of lookalike. And then you want to make sure if you're getting tinctures that there's certain percent alcohols that work best for the different herbs. And David Winston, who I studied I took my herbalist certification class through him, and he, I have a whole, you know, whole book of herbs that his whole thing, and he gives you the percentage for each one, and that's what he does in his herbal line. So that's Herbalist and Alchemist. So I trust his percentage. Like, you cannot get a 50% herbal extract of milk thistle and expect it to work. It needs to be an 85%, right? You can't get a glycerin extract of milk thistle and expect it to work. It just won't. It has to be an 85% alcohol or it won't work. You can't get a water extract of milk thistle. It just don't work. So you just being careful. You don't want to get milk thistle and make a tea out of milk thistle seed because it just doesn't extract in water. You'd have to either make an alcohol tincture or eat the milk thistle seeds, right? So they can be either eaten as is or lightly toasted, ground up, and put in food. I make a gobashio with milk thistle seeds and broccoli seeds and some liver herbs and salt and sesame seeds, and it's a great gobashio, which is a topping. Mm. So it's a great therapeutic topping as well. But yeah, it's just being careful that they're organically grown, that it's a trustworthy company, and that they know what they're doing in terms of formulas. And if you find one you like, great, because the truth is in the efficacy, right? If it works, it works. Okay, so you guys are still hearing me okay, right? And I'm still here.
Yep.
I actually called in on the conference line, the web thing, but I muted myself, and it looks like I'm gone. So I was there a little while ago, so I'm glad I'm in on the phone because it booted me out. There must be some, like, break and start and stop of the Internet because that wasn't doing well. All right, so let me see if anybody else had a question.
There's been lots of solar flares lately.
That happened. Are we still in Mercury retrograde?
Oh, gosh, no.
No.
Okay.
Seems like we're always in Mercury retrograde. Who else has questions? I see Susan. I see Lindsay. I see Lynn Rose. And I see Lindsay. It looks like you're there twice. I see Jay Whiteman, which is where I talked to you before. And then I see Lindsay in Montreal. Carol, Brandon, Janine, Paolo, Danielle, Valerie. I don't know who Cardinal Entrex is. That's Janet, yeah.
Janet Book.
Janet,
yeah.
You're going to be in Austin soon, aren't you? I can't wait to see you. Okay, who else? Who else wants to just say hi? Tell me how you're doing. How have you been applying this to your clients? Have you been? Where are you at in the program? How can I support you? Last chance for questions. Yay. Okay.
I'll be happy
say anything
to
more
share
in
if somebody else doesn't want to.
Oh, please do.
So, as I had mentioned on our team Skype, I had this, well, back it up a little bit. I had started just about a week or two ago this heavy metal protocol. I had done some testing over the summer, and one of them was a hair mineral analysis, and found that I definitely have heavy metals along with a copper zinc imbalance, heavy on the copper, not as much on the zinc. And my vitamin D levels were basically non-existent. And I say that just to show you where I'm going here. Over the weekend, I noticed these little spots coming up on my arm. You will remember what my back looked like from, the Spring Into Vitality conference when I was at your place.
That was like
a
year and a half ago. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I was watching them, and at first, because I have this eczema, I thought it was just from that scratching. And this did not look like that. And after a while, I realized it was not it. They were more pronounced. They were more pustule. And then I started feeling a little achy, like I was getting sick. And so then I called my chiropractor, who does some kind of woo-y things. He does a lot of energy type work. And he said, you have a very, very, very bad bacterial infection.
Ooh.
And he said, you need to go get massive doses of antibiotics. And he knows me. He goes, I know that's not what you want to hear. And I said, well, and Lynn Rose goes, arg. And it's like, no, this guy is not one to just tell somebody, you know, he's like, this is really bad. And so we have a friend that's a medical doctor who knows who I am, and he works with that. The clinic in our area is associated with the Mayo Clinic, which is not who I would want to work with at all. So anyway, I went there, and I should find out tomorrow what the culture says, but, you know, it's most likely, MRSA, M-R-S-C-A-S-A, or some type of staph or something like that. So I'm sharing all of this because there's a few things that are involved here. One, as I mentioned before, I'm doing a heavy metal protocol. Because I had that infection before, I don't think it ever truly went away. And now it's just manifesting because it's like I'm cleaning house and their hiding place is no longer there. I also have this copper zinc ratio imbalance that also contributes towards it. Plus my vitamin D levels are not that great. That also contributes towards it. And this is all related to digestion, and if I don't have great stomach acid, I'm not breaking things down. It's all related. Plus, you know, there's bacteria. I have ordered the doctor's data test, the parasitology times three, to see what else is going on in there as well. But meantime, so I've set aside my bacterial, right, exactly, Lynn, the body detoxes, so it comes up on the skin, and that's the other piece of it.
That's right.
So I've put aside my heavy metal protocol for now, and just to focus on this. And so what I'm doing is taking massive doses of vitamin C, massive doses of echinacea, and I'm soaking my arm in yarrow tea. I have ordered biocidin. And I'm taking colloidal silver. And I have ordered biocidin. And, so that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay, so cool. So I would also add to that, in addition to echinacea, I would add something with berberine. So whether you do...
I ordered. That's in the biocidin.
Yeah, but it may not be enough. So I'd add some extra, either get the berberine, Berber Plus, Berber 500 from Thorn, or get... Golden Seal, which is endangered, so I tend to like to more get Oregon grape. So Oregon grape root can be very helpful. You can get it as the whole root. You can make a really potent tea with it, and you can actually soak, you know, use that as poultices on it, but also take it internally. So really strong of that, or you can get a tincture. You could do both, right? Janine just put in that black seed.
I
didn't find that last
week.
That black
seed
with Mercer. And you might look at that, because antimicrobial, yeah, there's a whole bunch of it. Here's a Medline study. Methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, which is what MRSA is, was aimed. So this is a Medline study that's showing it.
Okay.
Order it. You can get it on Amazon. It'll be there in a day. I ordered black seeds. I would get both, oil and seeds. Just play with it. You know, whatever you can do to support your immune system. Right, and then you're going to get the results back tomorrow. But if you just like really hit it
right,
hard,
I know what it is.
Days, you're going to go back and take another look at it in a week to see where it's at, because you know it's something you want to keep on top of if it does show
right.
up.
Yep.
But you don't want to let it go too long if it's
right.
But again, if it's an antibiotic resistant bacteria, what could
right.
take an antibiotic? Yeah, what
well,
taking antibiotics. Too,
I know.
So,
well,
right?
And,
so
and then the other thing I was
going to
say is I'm doing a blend of tea tree oil and eucalyptus oil in my diffuser to get it that way as well. But yeah, this friend of ours who's a doctor, he's like, "You're not freaking out?" And I said, "Well, of course not. It's completely reversible." He goes, "Oh, it'll never be gone." And I laughed. I said, "Really? Watch."
<Yeah. laughs> And Lynn's going to sleep, and she's going to exercise.
Yep, I have been.
Water.
Yep, I have
all
been.
All the self-care stuff that we tend to go down the tubes. Yeah, so this looks like they created an extract of the Nigella sativa, the black seed. So I would get some black. You can get the capsules. I know that there's a number of places that will sell you capsules if you want, but you can just get the oil, which tastes really good and can be added into any salad dressing.
Yeah, I know. You said on the last Vital Healing Kitchen show it was good. So
yeah, and Laura posted that she started using. She found that she had some at home and she started using it, and it was very tasty. I found it delicious, and it was just. I made this very simple salad of. Kale, baby kale, I massaged it down, and then you saw me do that. But then afterwards, we took half a head of cabbage and put it in the food processor and finely, just long strands of it, and we mixed that in. So it was these long strands of beautiful cabbage massaged with a little bit of salt. I think it wasn't salt, it was lemon juice. And then added a little bit of the black seed oil and some flax oil. I was just doing that to be cheap. If I was just making it for myself, I probably would have just used the black seed oil. But it was at potluck and I didn't want to, you know, use my half a bottle of that stuff. But yeah, you can do all kinds of cool stuff like that to just incorporate it into your food. And this is a study from 2008, way back in 2008. And let's see, there's a bunch of them. Kill MRSA with Nigella sativa. There's a whole bunch of it. So if you look it up, thank you, Janine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. There's so, we have so many potent things in our toolbox,
right.
But it's potent herbs combined with, of course, the lifestyle, right? Drinking plenty
right.
of water, your
going
vitamin
to the basics.
C levels,
yep.
Getting out to the sun, but high level. Ooh. I would do 100,000 IUs of vitamin D for 3 to 5 days and then drop it down
mm-hmm.
just to really
wow.
push your levels up right away. I've seen people knock out the flu in 3 days by doing that.
Oh, yeah. You said 100,000?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Not for long, 3 to 5 days.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right? And if there's any kind of viral thing that's going along with it, you just do that with vitamin A. Vitamin A and D, 100,000, 3 days, and then drop down to normal doses. For the D, where your levels were, probably 100, 10 to
yeah,
20.
My level was a 6.
Oh, yeah. So 20,000 after that. But I'd do 100
right.
3 days. You can't
right.
afford to take 3 months to raise that.
No, I agree. So the other piece to that, you know, you're asking, so my husband is a nurse in a nursing home. What better place to colonize all these things? And he himself had been very sick with a cough for probably 3 weeks. So, you know, it was just, you know, and then I'm prone to immune insufficiency. And so it just, once again, showing me, yep, got to take care of yourself. And then the fact that it's on my right arm, energetically, it's all about, taking care of myself and moving forward with where I want to go. So, cause you know, you think of arms hold things. Arms are caretakers.
Right.
We hold our babies with our arms. So it's,
Yep, it's a female side, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So Janine's saying, you know, and this is a good idea, is to just mix it with in a little tea, mix with coconut oil and place on your skin, put some in your nose.
The black seed oil.
Right,
mm-hmm.
The black seed oil. Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
potent. It's a potent antimicrobial. Right, and that with berberine, with all the other stuff, your immune system won't know what hit it. I mean, I personally know that I don't get, if I get
good.
The beginning
it needs
of a cold.
It needs a kick in the pants.
It needs to, yes. If I
you know, the thing
like
is I don't feel bad.
No.
I don't want to feel not bad. I want to feel good, and so I feel fine.
That's right.
It's just this is on my arm, and it's going to, I feel very grounded, and this is going.
yep, and poultices are great. So.
Yep.
You know, you can do a poultice even with the tea tree, putting tea tree on it. You can do poultice. You can do castor oil, but you can rub in some of these other oils and then put the castor oil pack on top of it.
And I had written down two charcoal.
Yep,
you
keep
know.
The gut flowing.
Yeah.
Keep your bowels moving.
But also externally on the arm itself.
Oh, charcoal, to draw, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and the clay, the... bentonite clay or zeolite
clay. I had originally, before I realized what it was, put lots of clay on it. And then I had taken my tea tree oil on and just kind of stuck it in each of the little pustules. And then I had made a chickweed salve for my eczema. And I have tea tree oil in there. So what do I have in here? I've got, and then jasmine essential oil. So, you know.
And then Rose says try making probiotic paste.
Yeah. Thank you.
It all day long, Lynn, right? You can just put one on it, and then when you can change it out and do something else, and you can just keep switching things around. My personal approach to anything that I feel like it's coming on personally is I load it with everything I got, and generally it doesn't develop. It's usually way more than most people would be willing to do, but we're just throwing this all out there and let's just see what works. And you've had that low vitamin D for a while.
Yeah. And I had started working on it, and you know, I was kind of working on things, and now it's like, come on, kick it in high gear. And so that's how the moment I realize what I, my gut intuition is telling me, this is exactly what it is. I'm like, all right, this is not happening. And
yes.
So yeah, this is so not happening. And, so anyway, I share all of this just to, hopefully be of help to people to show, you know, how we can, you know, everything works together and different ways that we can help our clients, you
right.
know, to really battle these things. Well, battle isn't even the right word, that we can make ourselves, whole and balanced.
Yeah. And it's not just a matter of finding the right salve to put on,
right.
or finding the right, you know, antimicrobial herb or whatever. It's doing the whole thing. It's getting
yeah.
the sleep and
no,
you know, supporting digestion,
yeah.
et cetera.
Because here, you know, this is one thing I truly believe in, that the right herbs we need will be drawn to us because they have a particular energy that we need. And that's part of the healing process. It's not just the herb. It's the energy that that particular herb brings to
Absolutely.
Us. And
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
One of the things that my herbal teacher, David Winston, taught us was to sit with the herb. And he had us, he signed us
yep.
to go and find an herb that we don't know much and just sit with it. And just,
yep.
you know, kind of meditate on it and ask it what powers it brings, what does it bring? And you could go do that with an herb you don't really know very well and sit with it and write down anything that you hear, that like anything that comes to you, because those messages come intuitively, you hear, you know, you write it down, and then go look that herb up.
Right.
And see how that plays out. And he
yeah.
remembers telling a story about his first time he ever used, it was nettle seed, I think, for prostate, kidney, or
mm-hmm.
I can't remember whether it was kidney or prostate and whether it was the
yeah.
seed or the root, because one is used for one and another is used for the other,
right.
but he was dealing with this one person and he was struggling, the person wasn't getting better, and he went and he just was like out in his field and communing with the herbs, and he just felt, he heard this, you know, he hears voices from his herbs and said,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, use me. And he's like, nettle root, nettle seed, whichever one it was. And they had a little conversation, and he picked up a message there and went and he used it, and it worked so well. And then he started to use it in more protocols, and now he writes down it. Nettle seed for kidney, yeah, okay. So
yeah.
it was, I can't remember whether it was nettle seed for kidney, then it's nettle root for prostate. So
mm-hmm.
it was one or the
so
other that wasn't
sense.
That well known at that time. I don't remember which story he told.
Yeah.
So thank you, Paula.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so the other part to that, and I encourage other people to do this wherever they're at. So each year there seems to be something different that grows in my yard. This year it was violets. I mean, I usually get some violets, but lots of violets. And violets are really good for the immune system. And so mm-hmm. I just pick them up, and because I know that they know what I need before I need it, and so I just say, okay, thank you, I know I'll use you somehow, and so now I have violets, and they're going to help me with my immune system. Yep, and it's the leaves and the flower, yep, for
yep.
the violets.
For the violets.
Mm-hmm.
So Janine says she bought leaf, and Lynn Rose said, throw the whole plant in the Vitamix in a smoothie. Like, get the
yeah.
leaves, the seeds, the flowers, the,
yeah.
the leaves. I mean, nettle is a pretty potent one. So there's so many food medicines
yeah.
out there.
Yeah,
very
and
nutritious.
I have lots of nettles here, too, and
yeah.
burdock. I have tons nettle
leaves.
Of
yeah.
burdock. Yeah, nettle pesto is great. So, yeah. So I've been doing, and the burdock I've been tincturing for my liver.
Yep. Paula suggests nettle pesto. Yes, great idea.
Yeah, nettle pesto is amazing.
Yep. I had arugula pesto that I bought when I arrived. I'm in San Diego right now, and I arrived here on Sunday, and I stopped at the store, and they had an arugula
pesto. I think it was with pine nuts or walnuts. I can't remember what the nut was, but it was with, oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah.
I don't know specifically, Paula, but I would believe that there is a window. I don't know. And with any herbs, you know, some of them are great when they're fresh picked and others need to like, almost like ferment or brew, right? Like a fine wine or whatever. And then rose hip, you need aromatic bitters.
Well,
last week
the burdock.
For dandelion and for this. Yep.
Yeah.
Burdock's
and
an
I have
amazing
both.
Thing for the kid, for the liver and going back to Dawn,
yeah.
You know. Burdock, get some burdock root.
Oh, yeah, that would be great for Dawn. Yep.
And you can buy dried burdock, but get it fresh. And one of the things that is used a lot in macrobiotics, which is very potent, if you get a little bit of sesame oil, you match stick size cut the burdock with some carrots, and you do a little saute. That can be great.
Mm,
I would say
Kintira, right?
Yeah, and I would actually add daikon to that. Daikon is a good, it's a good mucolytic, breaks down mucus. So daikon can be really good for breaking down mucus.
Yeah,
kimchi,
it'd be good in kimchi, yeah. And this is about the year time of year I start harvesting the burdock root. It's more of a late fall. It's a cold weather. That's when you harvest the root. The leaves are way, way too bitter, way too bitter. So I don't eat the leaves or anything with them. And maybe I'm missing out, but so far.
I don't know. You'd have to look them up. Just make sure before you start eating stuff that it's not typically eaten. I keep trying to grow it, but the wild hogs get it first. That's funny. Kimchi. There's so many things you can make kimchi with, right? So kimchi or fermented veggies. And, you know, when you take potent stuff like burdock and daikon and add some sea vegetables and ginger and garlic and turmeric, I mean, that is, and then you ferment all that together, add some cabbage or some other crucifers. Oh, my God, that's like such a healing food. Such a healing food. So, you know, it's really, really going back to the roots of food as medicine. And that's a lot of what we're going to be doing at Shine. I'll do a plug for Shine right now. You guys have free tickets cashing in because we're going to be doing lot of that food as medicine. And I am so excited to be able to do that and do some demos and really talk about it.
We'll
Someone able to say a few words about cream of tartar. I don't know much about cream of tartar. Lynn Rose, do you know much about cream of tartar? I know it's used as a thickener, and you see it a lot in baking powder or use it in place of baking powder.
I
don't know much about it as a remedy.
Help with your potassium.
20%. You know, I see a lot of stuff on what it's used for in cooking, cream of tartar benefits.
It's an acidic natural byproduct of winemaking. It's potassium hydrogen tartrate. Let's see. It's a soup.
There's an article by David Wolf on it.
It's supposed to help you quit smoking.
Okay.
Because it helps expel toxins.
And treat bacterial infection.
System.
Huh.
What?
It says if you have a bacterial infection, drink a half a teaspoon of cream of tartar with half a cup of warm water. Lower blood pressure.
Helps with
prevent
gallbladder pain. Yeah, lowers blood pressure. Helps with gallbladder pain. Treats urinary tract infection. Yeah, soothes arthritis. Good for heartburn.
Huh. Here's an antacid one. You mix it with the ant. I think that I wouldn't actually do that. I think that's just a symptom relief. I don't think it's a healing thing. It's just a symptom relief when you mix it with some baking soda. Smoking urinary tract infection. Anyway, you know, it's not one of the things that comes to mind. It's like the first line of defense for anything.
But it's supposed to help with your pH levels.
Well, some things help with the pH levels, but they neutralize stomach acids, and so I'm a little concerned about things that, you know, neutralize stomach acid. There's an article by David Wolf on it. Anyway, it's worth looking into. What does he say? Quit smoking. Yeah, it's the same thing. Reduce arthritis. 100 grams of cream of tartar contains 2 milligrams of magnesium. I don't know if that's very much. Urinary tract, better acne. He looks like he copied it from somebody. Not, I don't mean that. I mean, somebody copied it from somebody because it was two different articles that said the same exact thing. Yeah, definitely alkalizing. So, yeah. I mean, there's so many foods that can be used, and we just want to incorporate as much as we can and get our people to see how changing what they eat can change it.
Right. Source it's not, it doesn't, Lynn wants to know where does it come from. It's a byproduct of making wine.
Yeah, so it's not like a food that grows naturally. My first line of what I want to use is the actual food. Daikon radish, burdock root, nettle, like real food stuff.
Right.
First, and if those, you know, I'm more likely to use those, and if those don't work, I might use something that's a little bit more distant from that or more extracted from that. But the first line, you know, in many cases would be the real food. Real food, yay, I love real food. All right, so I think that's it. You know, if anybody else has anything else, raise your hand. Last chance for calls. It's like the last call at the bar. Last chance. I'm going to refresh on the Q&A and see if anybody else added anything. I don't see it. And then I'll go to here, and I don't see any hands yet. Raise your hand, star 2. And that should raise your hand. It's not working for me to move it.
Oh.
All right. Daniela. So, yeah, I see a hand. I see Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Daniela.
Hi. Daniela, sorry.
It's okay. I was wondering about this, the infection on the arm. What about using chlorine dioxide in water?
Maybe? Oh, you mean like MMS?
Yes. Like you could
I mean, that's certainly a possibility. It's got a lot of good research behind it. Again, it's one of those, you know, secondary, tertiary type of things. But, I mean, I would certainly consider it before antibiotics as a possibility. Yeah, have you had any good results with it?
Yes, and I use it almost daily. And
you do? So what kind of results do you see with it?
Well, see, it's very good to kill bacteria, parasites. I use it mostly for candida or yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if there's an active infection going on, it will be several times a day. If it's for prevention, then once a day type thing. And you can also bathe in it, and it's like... it's just as good as drinking it internally, and so for some people that's more pleasant to do, or they feel safer that way if they're not familiar with it. And my teacher actually that uses this himself for many, many years, Dr. Stephen Daniel, when I talked to him about infrared sauna, he said he had looked into it also for detoxification. But when he tests, he finds that bathing in the MMS gives very similar results.
Hmm.
So because it also oxidizes heavy metals.
Great.
Yeah.
So that might be a good thing to consider, too. I just put a couple of links into the into the chat. I mean, most of them are, like, just testimonials, but certainly worth looking at. Thank you. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll take your.
I wanted to ask you a question about parasites.
Yeah.
I just listened to the Parasite Summit, and they're saying that the parasites have some kind of an enzyme that when we poop them out, basically, within 15 minutes, they kind of dissolve themselves. So it's very difficult to catch it. On the other hand, we have the stool test that supposedly are supposed to find them. So what's your experience with that?
Yeah, my experience with that probably bears up that is that, yeah, we see them in a lot of people. So that would say to me that that is pretty high level. And sometimes where I really suspect it, I don't actually see it. So, they do come back negative a lot on stool tests. So I don't generally rely on the stool test. And there's good stool tests, there's better stool tests, and I don't know what the reason is, how quickly they, or have, if they have a specific preservative, but they usually do, preserve it, so I'm not sure how well that preservative goes. But, any kind of testing, I like to really look at, you know, I'm suspicious of the fact that this person might have this particular parasite and whether or not they do. Oftentimes I just work with them on getting rid of it. So I don't really do a lot of the stool testing myself. I mean, I like to work with people first. And the stool test is like, well, we're not really seeing, maybe there's a culture we can do, particular organisms that may be resistant to the things that we're using, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think it's like anything else. The testing can definitely give you a lot of false negatives.
And it's really tricky because when you go to a regular doctor here in Toronto, they did whatever stool test that they do. This was for my son, came back negative, so now he thinks he doesn't have parasites. But I think he doesn't have it.
And you know the whatever methodology they use, and I don't remember all the distinctions between the methodology between like what Quest might use versus what Genova or some of the others do. There's a difference, and there's a supposedly one lab out in Arizona that developed technology. Actually, I think it's a doctor out in Arizona that sends it to Germany or something, and some German technology for capturing it that seems to have the best results, according to a couple of practitioners that I know. So it's tough. It's tough because I think we have to just pull the full picture in, right? We can't just say, well, the test said it's negative, therefore you're fine. Like, people go to the doctor with thyroid symptoms up the wazoo, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly hypothyroidism based on symptomatology, but because of the way they test it, they say, no, you're fine, and they ignore the symptoms. So you can't ignore any one piece of it. You can't ignore the lab if it says it's positive or there's an imbalance. You can't ignore the person and the symptoms. And, you know, you can't ignore, like, just even an intuition that you might have about this person based on their history. So I think that we just have to pull it all together and make our best judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, food allergies are one, too, that I don't trust any of the tests. I've had so many false negatives. And sometimes even false positives where, you know, I'm more likely false negatives where I'm like, person is definitely, I mean, you know, my husband is just definitely allergic to soy. If he even breathes near a soybean, he breaks out, he gets his throat closed down, and his stomach gets all messed up. And he's been literally hospitalized for soy allergy. Yet when he did an IgG test for soy allergy, it showed up that he had very, very mild reaction.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a man with very, very mild, so I'm like, that's crazy. And then I did one, and I hadn't had salmon for 25 years, and it showed up with an allergy to salmon, but it didn't show up with a dairy allergy, which I know every time I even touch dairy, I get, you know, crazy symptoms. So I don't trust them, you know. I think we have to just look at all of the pieces and just trust our clinical judgment and our intuition as well as the testing. So the testing can be excellent for identifying stuff, but it doesn't always catch everything. There's no way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
And the place in like you said, there's this one person in the States that is a better testing. Do you know the name or the clinic?
Yeah, let me look him up. I'd have to check with some of my colleagues because I had his name written down somewhere, but I don't know it off the top of my head. But I think it's Arizona. And people go from all over the place to UBiome. Maybe this is it. Omar, here is it. This is it. Omar Herman of Scottsdale. After many failed tests. This might be it. Parasitology Center in Arizona. Try this. Parasitology Center in Arizona. Let's see if I can find their website. See, I think that might be at Phoenix. Let me see if I can find his actual
Dr. Omar Amen, that might be him. Sounds familiar. Here, I'm going to give you his link in the chat.
Awesome.
He's got a whole bunch of links on his site about all the different stuff that it's worth looking into. Here. Yep. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Is that it, or do you have any other questions or comments?
I do, but it's so late. It'll be, I guess, for next time. I don't want to.
Okay. Are you sure?
Sorry?
Okay. I said, are you sure?
Yeah, I feel bad because it's already almost 2.5 hours that you're on.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But okay. Well, let's catch them next time or post it in the Facebook group.
Okay.
Because we can answer them there, too.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Yes, sure. So Dawn is saying CEUs. It depends. There's so many CEUs for different organizations, and I was just told recently about an organization where you can get CEUs across different platforms. I mean, different like nursing and chiropractic, et cetera. And we're looking into that. We do get NANP. CEUs from NANP, the National Association of Nutrition Practitioners, and Lynn's working with the nursing. She's definitely working with the nursing association, and we definitely need to pursue the ones that are global, that will give you across the board. Just as an aside, I just got noticed today I'm going to be speaking at the Nutrition Therapy Association, NTA, conference. In March, I think March 2nd to 4th. So if anybody's part of that, or if you've been an NTA graduate or in there or know anybody, I'll be speaking at that conference.
That's way cool.
Isn't it? Yeah. And we're waiting to hear from an ANP, but they get like hundreds of applicants. So that depends on how cool my topic was compared to other people's topics. And they don't like to, bring people back if they, I spoke there 2 years ago, and I don't really like to bring the same people back over and over. They like to get different people stuff. I don't know. Anyway, but I'm going to be speaking there at the NTA conference in March, so that's exciting. And I'm trying to get more. So if you have any conferences that you tend to go to, and let me know, because I'm, looking to speak at as many conferences. I really want to get into Holistic Nurses Association. So Lynn Rose, if you have any particular links or contacts in any of the Holistic Nurses Association or Nurse Practitioner Associations, I'd love to speak with them because I think nurses are one of my favorite groups to speak to. They're so open and they're so ready for this sort of stuff. So, all right. Anybody else? Oh, and Lynn says there, she gave her email address, so you can just email Lynn if you have any places. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your patience with technology. It looks like I was not meant to be on the internet tonight, and so I'm on the telephone, and my telephone line kept, but my internet line dropped. So whatever it is, sun flares or whatever Lynn has to say. Lynn, do you want to say anything in closing? Thank you for all your help and all your great insights. Thank you, Lynn Rose, for all of yours. Thank you,
everybody.
Janine,
this is
had
truly
some great
a
stuff
group effort.
It was really, that's what I really love about, these kind of calls is when there's a lot of group collaboration because there's so much different range of experience. Some people are great, have done a lot of energy work, and some people have done a lot of homeopathy or herbals or acupuncture or whatever, and we can all just coordinate and, support each other in this. In this beautiful career that we've taken on, it's a vocation more than a career, is really just to help people. And my mission is so badly want to see that every person in the world has access to true root-cause healthcare rather than just continual band-aids. I absolutely loved having a conversation with Dr. Tom O'Brien about a week and a half ago, and he said his analogy as well. He says, if somebody fell in the water in the pool and they were drowning, you throw them a life preserver, but you don't just throw them a life preserver, leave them in the pool and walk away, right? You help them get out of the pool, right?
So that's what a lot of times we're doing in medicine. We throw them in the life preserver and they need it, right? You got a broken bone, you got a raging infection that's not going to get well quickly enough with natural remedies. You don't just deal with the problem at hand. You do the life preserver. I do the band-aids, life preservers. You do that. But you have to be seeking the root cause and fixing the root cause. So this person's in the pool and they've got a 20-pound lead weight attached to their foot. You're not going to be able to get them out until you get the weight off them, and maybe it's 100 pounds that's pulling them down, right? So the life preserver is just fighting against the root cause, and you've just got to deal with the root cause, and that's what we're here for. So I applaud you guys for all the work you do, and I'm going to open up the line, and we'll just all say goodnight to each other on the count of three. One, two, three. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.